Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Where is Ron G?
You're listening to The Amy Show, no longer featuring Chris Ronji, because he has passed away.
That's great.
He's not dead. He has not passed away.
Where did you get, how'd you get King to do that?
You just send him an email. He'll do it.
I mean, he may as well be dead. He's dead to me. He's been gone for 3 years now. He's with his wife and kids, obviously, in Chicago. And he went up
What's
there.
What's worse, accusing the man of living a double life or being dead?
I think dead.
Yeah. He's dead in spirit. He's dead to me. Who knows? I mean, listen, he's got a wife and kids in Chicago, we're pretty sure. Michael, you know. Matt, you know. Drew, you know. He goes to Chicago with a very suspicious frequency. He sees his quote-unquote friends in Chicago more than I see Mason Jar, who lives 20 minutes away,
right.
More than I see my parents, who live 30 minutes away. And so the only explanation is he's got a wife and kids, and of course he got snowed in.
Yeah. You think if he's got a kid, do you think the kid walks around with a ball cap on all the time,
and
too?
And glasses? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So that's where Ronji is. He's alive. Okay, let's see what we've got.
He's left the city.
Someone is listening from the Odyssey app, which we are very grateful because they are listening from beautiful, warm Arizona. Can't wait to head out for a sunny vacay in the Cayman Islands.
Hey, now.
Uh-huh. We're coming to St. Louis to babysit our grandkids. And their flight has already been canceled once.
They're in the Cayman Islands and they're coming to St. Louis?
No, I think they're in Arizona. I think I got it wrong. Sorry, our text line messes up
right.
A bit. They're in Arizona coming to St. Louis so that their daughter and son can head to the Cayman Islands. However, their flight has already been canceled once. Another 314.
Mm-hmm.
My kids named my 73 Chevy four-wheel drive pickup with cherry bomb glass packs. What's that?
No, you're asking me? No
okay.
idea.
They named it the Beast.
I know.
And would want me to go faster and make it louder. Michael, for you, a 636, it's such a treat. When Michael subs for Chris, you two are good together, kind of like a Hallmark movie.
Where is Ron G?
Different guy.
That's awesome.
We're like a Hallmark movie? Is that a compliment or is that an insult?
I think it's a compliment because it said I've been a fan of Amy since she was with Charlie, but it's a treat. They said it's a treat.
Oh,
when
I like that then. Thank you for that.
I think we are allowed... I think we are like a Hallmark movie because remember, Michael, we were going to go ice skating together.
Yeah. So here's the reality, Amy, is we're unique in that we both have made it to a certain age in our lives where we've remained single.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have this and now you're engaged to a jar. And I'm, you know, still out there.
The most eligible bachelor.
I'm still out there looking for what's right for me, which I'm pretty sure maybe just me.
Well, come on, Michael. You have so much. Can you imagine if I would have had to have gone and dug out somebody out of a snowstorm yesterday? You wouldn't have had
today?
To. What? You would have picked him up in your supercar that weighs 7,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And you would have picked up and rescued your lady.
Supercar.
Here's what I want everybody to know is I am sitting in Studio B with two of the most eligible bachelors in St. Louis.
DJ.
One is under 40, one's over 40. I say that because that's how they divide running into 40 and under 40. And so Matt Pajeski, Michael Kelly calls him PJ, and then Michael Kelly. So 314-436-7900.
Do not do this. My buddies are listening today. Because of the snow experience, Amy. Now, Matt Pajeski, though, people know about you. You're an old soul. The guy's just, for those who have been longtime KMOX listeners, I did not think it was possible for someone to ever be able to be even remotely close to what Chris Myhill was to KMOX.
Right.
But I think Matthew, on a daily basis, is striving to do it. He has that same Myhill sensibility. That same Myhill skin tone. You guys are both pink.
Yeah.
Like me. And he's top notch here, Amy. You're lucky to have him.
He is.
Thank you, Michael. And Matt, Michael, you're the best host since probably John Hancock, I would say.
Where is he today?
I don't know.
You know, out in God's country. You know, Kelly, it don't snow out here in God's country. You know, he's putting together the inauguration for Governor Kehoe.
That is so exciting. And I know there are a lot of newsy things to get to. The inauguration, is that January 13th?
Yeah.
Yep, that's January 13th. Very exciting for Governor Mike Kehoe. I will say, there's a lot of talk about politics and negativity in this world and in the country, and everyone's so divided. But I'll tell you what, I think a huge, shining beacon of hope is Governor Mike Kehoe. I think Missouri is getting who I think could be the best governor we've ever had.
Well, I think I sure hope. And I say that under the, you know, qualification. Look, I'm a Democrat. You know, I don't necessarily, but I've accepted that I live in a Republican state. You know, do I know that Mike Kehoe has all the answers for Missouri? I'm not so sure about that. But what I do think he brings is a unique perspective to the governor's office and to the Republican Party. And why do I say that? The Republican Party for years, Amy, has made its bones off of really demonizing St. Louis. You know, St. Louis is where the crime's at. St. Louis has this problem. They're those liberals. They blah, blah, blah. And most legislation down in Jefferson City, if it's got St. Louis involved in it, it's an immediate reflex to outstate folks to be opposed to it. Mike Kehoe coming from Missouri at a time where Missouri has losing population. Sure, what's happening in Kansas City is great, but that's happening over in Kansas in a lot of instances, particularly population growth. But we've got real issues here in the city, in the county, and I think that a guy who grew up in St. Louis, hasn't demonized it, and realizes that this economic engine needs to continue to move forward, I think that's very positive. It makes me optimistic, and I will tell you, this man's got his work cut out for him, Amy, because we are at a crossroads in the St. Louis area of we're either going to fix some stuff or we're going to allow this free fall to continue. And I think that having a partner at the state rather than a hindrance will be a help.
Right. His passion for the city, the fact that he grew up in Baden and Walnut Park, knows the city, I think is huge for this area. There's also some pretty big and controversial issues facing the state that we'll be dealing with, how they roll out either pro-abortion legislation, or now that the legislators are putting more restrictions or hope to put more restrictions on it, gambling that passed, how is that going to look? So there are some big issues facing the state that he'll be dealing with as well. Michael, before we move on here, or before we leave the segment, just because we did talk about this city, television station KSDK, that's Channel 5, is leaving its downtown St. Louis home. As you mentioned, it will be within the city of St. Louis still, so that's a good thing. But the downtown building that it is leaving, it has operated for more than 40 years, and it's right on Market Street. And I do think there's something to be said for having your major news stations downtown. Fox 2 moved out to the county.
Right.
KMOV moved out to the county. So KSDK is leaving downtown, but it is staying within the city limits, which is good. Andy Banker, our friend over at Fox 2, tweeted that because STL Today reported that not only is KSDK leaving downtown after 77 years, but they cited safety, security concerns for staff, and how things have just been changing over the past few decades.
Well, and you don't need a news station to tell you that that's what's been going on. I mean, anybody who's been down here in the city can tell the stark difference of even just a short couple of years ago. It's unfortunate that, look, this arch, this downtown, it is the nucleus of our region, whether we like it or not. And I know there's a lot of people who maybe their only experience with the city of St. Louis is coming in for the ball games. And they think, hey, that's their problem. I don't have to worry about it. You can't be a suburb to nowhere, and that's problematic. I understand that the news stations want to be closer to be able to cover folks. You can't ignore the crime situation going on in the city of St. Louis. But we've got to find some way to figure this out and rescue downtown St. Louis, mm-hmm. or it winds up going the way of Detroit. It winds up going the way of Cleveland prior to their rebuilds. And it winds up dragging us all down, whether you realize it or not. What happens in the city of St. Louis affects you whether or not you're in O'Fallon, Illinois, or O'Fallon, Missouri.
Yeah. Steve Ellman, St. Charles County executive, had talked about, hey, you may think we're fine in St. Charles, no matter what happens to the city of St. Louis, but it's not true. You can't be a suburb of nowhere. As Michael Calhoun says, you can't live in a donut. It doesn't work. And again, I think important to note, KSDK is staying in the city of St. Louis, but they were at 1000 Market Street, and it was close to several downtown shootings over the last year. At least 6 people were shot near there, one fatally. On June 23rd, a few weeks later, there was that gunfire that followed the July 4th celebration. It left several downtown buildings riddled with bullet holes, including Peabody Plaza, which is just 2 blocks east of KSDK. That Peabody building is always getting shot up. There is always plywood in a few of the windows.
All right. So here, you want to hear one of the saddest things that you will. If you are coming into downtown St. Louis mm-hmm. from Highway 70, meaning the north side of downtown, take a focus of the Southwestern Bell Building. Used to be the tallest building in downtown St. Louis. The amount of boards in a 42-story building because windows have been shot out.
Yeah.
It's just, you feel like you're going into Escape from New York, which, by the way, they filmed in St. Louis.
I know, in apocalyptic New York. And, I get it because, in the news business, people have to get to work at insane times, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., the morning crews are rolling in. And with the current KSDK situation, they had to park in a garage across the street. Nobody wants to walk across the street at 2 in the morning or at 1 in the morning in downtown St. Louis. Sad, but they don't want to do
anymore.
So they're going to have secure parking. That's going to be good. But they are staying in the city of St. Louis. KMOX, we're always downtown, baby.
We're right here, baby.
What's the name of this building we're in?
Park Pacific Building, right here in the Park Pacific Building, truly the heart of downtown St. Louis, a huge investment that CBS and Odyssey have made here, and I don't see us going anywhere.
So, no, I don't either. You got to be right in the heart of it. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores again. We would love to hear from you. 314-436-7900. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Winter. Plenty of ice and snow, but we'll
Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores alongside you with our intrepid KMOX crew. The newsroom is full. Matt Pajeski is here. We're like, what is the post office? Come hell or high water, rain, snow, sleet.
Nothing keeps us.
We're like the Pony Express getting to work.
Have you taken down your Christmas tree yet?
Okay. I have not. I believe in holding on to the Christmas tree for longer than most people. And I just want to note this. Today is actually happy National Take Down the Christmas Tree Day.
Oh, they have a day for it.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, today would be the best day to take down your tree. I find it to be depressing to take down a Christmas tree. So I have just my decorations were gone in 30 seconds. I have a little gnome.
I thought you had a Charlie Brown tree.
And I have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And yesterday, in a matter of 3 minutes, I evacuated them from my house, and we're back to regular time, you might say. But it is a bit depressing, because it's the end of that season.
Yeah. Well, it is. Okay, and I do think New Year's is the worst holiday, but I think with this snow, I was actually pretty happy yesterday. I have my little 3-foot tree in my tiny little apartment, and it's such a small apartment, and it works for me. Like, I'm one, small person living in a small apartment, and everything feels very proportional until Mason Jar shows up. And then it's like when Luke visits Yoda in his little cave in in Star Wars.
Like, well, there's not that much space anymore.
Yeah, suddenly it looks small.
Well, you're a pocket person. Like, I literally could put you in my shirt pocket because you're so small.
Well,
and so, yes, anything of substance around you is going to feel overwhelming there.
So there's that. yeah. So my little 3-foot tree feels very proportionate to the rest of my apartment. I'll keep it up for a little bit longer, but there is the, you know, the Larry David decree, you know, from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No more happy holidays.
We've reached the statute of limitations. That was this past weekend. You cannot say Happy New Year to anyone.
Thank goodness.
It's too long. It's been too long. You can't say Happy New Year.
And there is nothing happy about...
I know. The New Year is pretty depressing to
me. Right? It's just a demarcation in time. Of, I don't know, it just makes you feel bad. Like, boy, I really don't. I like when we get past like halfway through January, we're sliding towards Valentine's Day, and you know the world's going to start to get right. The sun's going to stay out longer.
See, I think mid-February to mid to late March is the worst time of year because January is supposed to be cold. It's okay to have bad weather in January. Even February, it's a short month. And if it's gross out, you think, hey, that's February. But then when you get to March, and March is just as bad and gross as February.
Yeah.
That feels depressing. So I don't mind January and February. Like, I'm doing okay right now. I actually, like I said, went for almost 4 hours of walk on my broken little leg yesterday, and I was happy. March is going to be tough.
Well, but the one solace that you can take about March is that at least the sunlight will be out till 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
This idea that at 3:30, 4 o'clock, where, you know, you're hunkering down already for the night, ugh. Good Lord, it feels like I just woke up.
Okay, Michael Kelly,
yeah.
President Joe Biden, not much time left for him.
I guess you could put it that way if you like.
Yeah, sorry, as president or whatever. That was bad. Not much time left.
Go ahead.
Left.
So he's about to leave office.
Yeah.
So two weeks?
He awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to 19 recipients.
Yep.
He... awarded. It was a hodgepodge of people, including fashion designer Ralph Lauren, George Soros, a Democratic mega donor, Hillary Clinton, Chef Jose Andres, Jane Goodall, Magic Johnson, Bono. I also believe, was it Liz Cheney? Did he get that?
She got some type of award.
Oh,
Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
And this has got all of my Republican friends exercised, which I don't get. I mean, first of all, these are medals that are being handed out, and, you know, a president can do it. Nobody's going to remember this other than the family of the person who received the award, and it will be in their bio someday when they die, number one. Number two, am I the only one who doesn't remember when they were honoring Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah.
Literally during the State of the Union?
Yeah.
And these folks are saying that he's, you know, ruining the office, et cetera. I don't like that. Everything has become political. Everything, you know, becomes a for us, against us, a yes or a no argument. And so the man honored some people. Good. Who can argue that Hillary Clinton isn't worthy of a medal? Whether you like her or not, she's served in some important roles. George Soros may be a finger in the eye of the Republicans.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that any surprise when... You know, I'm just as equally offended that there's an unelected world's richest man who sounds like he's going to be running government.
I mean, I know there's always these conspiracies around George Soros. Listen, I'm not a fan of him. His money helped to fund Kim Gardner, for crying out loud. What a disaster for the city of St. Louis. Absolutely disastrous. I think George Soros's policies are inane. They're harmful. And they're stupid. That's how I feel. I disagree so strongly with the very progressive prosecutors he likes to put in, like a Kim Gardner. Awful. Koch brothers still donate, and Elon Musk donates. Both sides have mega donors that
are less than palatable to the other.
Yes, and that exercise a huge amount of sway.
Yeah.
And so there's money, yes. Conspiracies, no. And yeah, you can. I think George Soros has... horrible policy ideas, and I will never forgive him or Kim Gardner for being in the city of St. Louis. But she's out. We've got Gabe Gore, and we're good to go.
Right. And I get that people want to be exercised about it, but what I'm hearing you know, about Joe Biden. Look, I get that you don't like him. I get that you don't like the policies. He's not a bad dude. I mean, this is a man who's, you know, spent his entire life working for our government, whether you like that or not. Some people think that's a negative thing. And I don't know. Let him hand his medals out. He's going away. And the next time you hear from him, probably is not going to be a pleasant day.
Yeah. And I will say this, because I know we disagree, obviously, where we did. I feel like the world has gotten so crazy that a lot of times we do agree. Where we do disagree, for instance, like the Joe Biden's policies, right? Because I'm still a conservative at heart. I'm still a Republican. I will say this. The medals that Joe Biden handed out are the least of my concerns. I have huge issues with Joe Biden pardoning Hunter. What a gross political thing. I have huge issues with other things that Joe Biden has done, like Afghanistan. I'll never forget that. And that was started by Donald Trump. Donald Trump started the alienation process of all the Afghan allies. Joe Biden wanted his name on it, so he gets it. So I will criticize and be angry at him for other things. And again, that's just our policy differences. But the medals are really the least of my concern.
So I think that the whole medal complaint really comes out of this whole outrage culture that we have going on right now, where everything's got to be a fight. I'm not going to buy into it anymore and getting upset about the most silly things that come up.
Like you said,
we have like real stuff
we have
to
real
be dealing
stuff to
with
deal
here.
With.
And you're mad because Denzel Washington got a medal.
Yeah.
Come on.
There's other things to worry about. So we'll continue to worry about those things. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. Hey, joining us next is KMOV sports anchor and reporter Tamar Scher. She joins us next. Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores with you on this snowy Monday. If you are at home, stay at home. The roads are not great, and Kevin Wheeler said 70 is a disaster. It's a disaster, baby. So it's not good. If you can stay home, stay at home. We welcome in now, actually, Tamar Scher, KMOV sports anchor and reporter, after a busy few days in sports. Tamar, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so thrilled to be joining you, getting to talk to you for the first time. No stranger to KMOX, growing up listening to KMOX on these snowy, snowy days growing up. So can't wait to be with you and talk some sports. It's been busy and we're at the halfway point for the Blues. A lot going on right now.
Awesome. Well, I share that enthusiasm. Matt Pajeski, our producer, said you're an absolute favorite all-star on Sports Open Line. They love having you on. You're so good. So thank you. Yeah, well, we need to bring you on this show, the midday show, more often. Let's start with the St. Louis Blues after a big victory in the Winter Classic. Again, 3-0, only NHL team to be 3-0 in Winter Classics. They did fall to the Columbus Blue Jackets, not in great fashion. What are you seeing from this team? Are they coming back down from that new coach bump?
Well, it's important to note they're at the halfway point. And like you mentioned, they did have a coaching change. They have Jim Montgomery. I think that he brought a spark to this team. Every point matters, though, at this point. Of course, they're 2 points out of the wild card spot and the Western Conference standings now at the halfway point. So the Blues are really going to need to capitalize on this next long home stretch after they head to Minnesota on Tuesday to be able to see, okay, can they make a playoff push? This is something that Blues fans are craving. They haven't had this in quite some time. It's been a couple years since we saw the Blues in the playoffs. But I do think, you know, there's one thing that people are talking about. The Blues are struggling to win 3 straight games. That's been plaguing the Blues. Can they do that during this next home stretch because they have more of a favorable opportunity in the next couple of weeks to do that as they look to start the second half of the season, look to start to get to that push? I think we're seeing a lot of sparkles, I want to call them, here with the Jim Montgomery era as the St. Louis Blues head coach. And hopefully we continue to see those things evolve. But you look at a guy like Cam Fowler, who has been doing amazing for the Blues. He was amazing in that Winter Classic game with 2 goals in his 1,000th NHL game. So there are these bright spots within the team. You just hope they continue to build on each other down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, looking at this team and some of the guys that were the youth, the youngsters during that Stanley Cup run, like a Jordan Kyrou, a Robert Thomas. They're moving up with the veteran crew. And you have Braden Schenn, you have the captain of the team. But if you really look at the leadership, can you point to a clear veteran voice on this team? Or, and here's my kind of, I don't know if this is, you can tell me if it's correct or not, but I feel like Jordan Binnington has been kind of a quiet leader. You never really see the goalie play that role. Generally, it's like, on the blue line, you have an Alex Pietrangelo. You had Ryan O'Reilly. You had these big voices, and I know Schenn's the captain, but right now my brain keeps falling back to Jordan Binnington being the glue. What are you seeing?
I think it's a combination of the two you just named. I think it's a combo of Binner and of Schenn, because as guys will tell you in the locker room, they still see Schenn bringing guys together. He's that motivational speaker, that voice in the locker room, on the ice, that you look toward, no matter if he's producing or not. He's always that consistent voice. But then you got a guy like Binner. Hofer's getting in there too, in terms of how these goaltenders are winning games and helping out this team. But Jordan Binnington, he's been that voice. You and I both know it, that Stanley Cup run. He's been that way since then, this team really leaning on him. And I also find it interesting that Doug Armstrong wasn't shying away from adding veteran presence. So, like I mentioned, a Cam Fowler, that's a really good veteran voice. He played 14 seasons in the NHL before coming to the St. Louis Blues. And now he's been able to, he even said it in the locker room to us. He's like, I enjoy playing with this team. I enjoy playing with this organization because they helped me with my transition, being a veteran player, but coming to the Blues and feeling that arms wide open mentality is super special. I think that has a lot to do with the foundation that a guy like Binnington and Schenn have set for just the entire locker room and on the ice.
If you, I can put you in this position that you have to speculate, rank speculation, how are you feeling about their playoff chances?
And like I said, this is the time where every point matters. So what they've been saying over the last couple of games, knowing that this halfway point is coming up, they're saying, you know, we wish we would have put ourselves in a better position, that we're not fighting for points necessarily at this place like we have seen in years past. But I don't see them stopping. Yeah, sure, they haven't won three straight games yet, but I think they do have an opportunity to do that. I think they do have that push. I mentioned 2 points out of the wild card spot and the Western Conference standings. They're not far behind. They're not, okay, we're done, we're out of it. They definitely are, especially when you see what Doug Armstrong has done over the last couple of weeks, months, and what he's added. You know, the big steal with the offer sheet guys and Dylan Holloway, Philip Broberg, those moves have proved to be so important for the Blues as well. So I think all signs are pointing to the fact that I think they can make that push to the playoff. Hopefully they do get over that hump, but I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. You feel this push. Sure, they dropped that game against Columbus. They have to win games like those. But then you look to the Winter Classic win. You look to the shutout win after that, and Brandon Saad getting that hat trick in that game. That's an upward trend for the St. Louis Blues, and I think we're going to continue to see that over the next couple weeks.
Let's switch it up from hockey for a second. Talk a little baseball, a little hot stove. Of course, Nolan Arenado expected to be on the trading block. Executed and stopped the trade to Houston. Has been rumored in some other places, but still hasn't made a move. Do you anticipate that he'll be moving on, or will he be the third baseman of this rebuilding team next year?
Well, I did listen to Tom Ackerman talking to President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, yesterday, and Mo was saying that conversations are pretty slow right now, and that's kind of anticipated just over the trajectory of when guys are trying to get traded. They have that no trade clause. Like you mentioned, he put a stop to the Astros trade allegedly, but I think, or pickup, but I think that, like John said, this is a little bit of a slow dip because now we are only 6 weeks away from spring training. Teams kind of figuring out who they got. It's still a give or take right now. If you would have asked me on the scale of how confident I am if Arenado stays, goes, right now I'm not very confident that he goes. We did see there are reports flying around. He wants to go to the Boston Red Sox. That might be a good place for him, but it's, do the Red Sox need him in that position? He's been open to saying, hey, I'll go play first base if that means I get to go play for a team that is going to be a contender, win now. That's his mentality. But as these trades continue to happen and as time passes, I think timing's everything, and we're now starting to slide down the slope of, well, if you wait any longer, what's going to be left? What do teams need? What do they anticipate? So I did think it was interesting yesterday when I was listening to Mo talk to Tom, just the fact that things have quieted down. I think that's something we all kind of anticipated as time happens. That happens as well.
Yeah, and this, the rumors that we're hearing about the Red Sox and Arenado, that Boston might be the preferred destination for him. Is that coming out of the Arenado camp or the Red Sox camp?
That's a good question that I don't have a solid answer to, but I think that if Arenado didn't want to go there, we're not hearing that. So the speculations are, you know, this is a favorable place for Nolan Arenado. I would speculate that is something that, okay, he can see the Red Sox and what they're trying to do, what they're wanting to do. Maybe he sees himself as a good fit there, and maybe those conversations are happening behind the scenes and to see, hey, because Mo even said he wants to find a place for Nolan. We have seen that they are trying to cut back on payroll, and we know that Arenado is a big name in that pool as they look toward the youth movement. I think that that's where the Cardinals want to go, and having a big contract like Nolan's on the Cardinals' payroll is a huge thing that they have to navigate if they are going to keep him for this next season and beyond. But I definitely, back to your statement, I think that it is something that not only Nolan Arenado is aware of, I think team, but it has to be the decision between the Cardinals and the Boston Red Sox, and then Arenado has to approve of that because he does still have that no trade clause.
Over in college football, Missouri Tigers quarterback Brady Cook has declared for the NFL draft. He was 3 years with Mizzou. St. Louis native, lifelong, he's been with Mizzou for 3 years. With Brady Cook declaring for the draft, where do you see his value?
Well, first of all, Brady Cook is an outstanding human being their partners this season and being able to travel with them on the road, go to home games with them. I was at the Music City Bowl in Nashville. This is just an outstanding human, and the adversity this guy has faced. Not only is he a St. Louis native, so St. Louisans are going to root for a guy like Brady Cook and what he brings to a program, his stick-to-itiveness and his want to play for the Missouri Tigers and saying, you know what, I have a broken hand, a broken ankle, and I'm still going to play. And he still, every chance he got, went out there, showed up for his team. But not only that, he's getting the MVP award for the Music City Bowl, knowing, hey, my defense and my kicker really stepped up in these moments. So he's receiving the trophy, but he's pointing out to all of his guys in the crowd as they're celebrating. I think that says a lot about Brady Cook. He's not a me guy. He's a we guy. I think just from the standpoint of who he is as a human and what he's been able to contribute out on the field, I think that teams would look at him and say, okay, that's an outstanding player, but also the person that we want to have as part of our organization. So if you're just talking who he is as a guy, what he's been able to do this season despite all the injuries, I think he's got a great future ahead of him.
He wouldn't be the first Mizzou quarterback that people may second guess on and all of a sudden winds up in the NFL. We've got a couple of them that have done that. What about Luther Burden, man? He's the biggest talent that Mizzou has, probably the biggest opportunity with the draft coming up. I would assume he's getting prepared. Is there any speculation as to how things are going for him?
I think that's the reason why he didn't play in that bowl game. Looking at it, knowing that he can go highly in that NFL draft this upcoming couple of months, I think it's going to be really important for him. I talked to him after that bowl game. He was there supporting his team from the sideline. He's like, yep, all right, now it's about combine training. It's about, okay, let's go ahead. Let's see this. I think people know who Luther Burden is. This is a guy we kind of saw at the beginning of the season. All right, he's not a senior, but this is his last year suiting up as a Mizzou Tiger, so we knew that. I think that now it's about what he can prove in these next couple of months and show off in the combine and all those things, all those conversations coming into play. But this is a guy who was so important for these Mizzou Tigers the last 2 years. I mean, you talk about this is the first time Mizzou has had back-to-back 10-win seasons since 2014 in the Gary Pinkle era, that in large part to Luther Burden, in large part to Brady Cook and that duo connection that they have there. So I think that when you're looking at what Luther Burden can do in this draft, I don't see why a team doesn't pick him up and look at him and say, okay, this is a guy who can play at the next level. We saw that even when he was in high school, you can see a guy and say, oh, I think this is a guy who can really make it in the league.
All right. Now, last question for you, Tamar. The Chiefs obviously blown out 38-0 against the Denver Broncos. Not much to take from that since the majority of their starters did not play. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, not in the game. Just one question, though. It is at left tackle with DJ Humphries. They're hoping that he can be a playoff starter. He had a okay first half. Not a great second half, but the Chiefs, it seems like their biggest concern going into the playoffs is, can they protect Patrick Mahomes? Any thought on Humphries and what they should do at that position?
To be honest, I think you look at a game like we saw against the Broncos, and you kind of just have to throw it out the window, as silly as that sounds. But this is a game that they had to rest their starters. They wanted to rest their starters knowing that they already locked up the top seed in the AFC, and you think about what the Chiefs have done this season and how many close one-score games they've been on the positive end of, and you say, hey, even though maybe some of those wins didn't look as pretty as we would, as we wish, this is still a Super Bowl-winning Chiefs team. I think that it is quite interesting to see what they've done the past couple of years and what they continue to do, and I still am confident that this is a team. I look at my coworkers and I'm like, all right, you can't really bet them out. And the only reason that yesterday turned into what it did is because, like you mentioned, they had to sit those starters to be able to say, okay, we already locked up that spot. No point risking any injury, risking any hurt. So they do have another opportunity to see, like you said, that some of that competition there is still alive. They have some practices to go to get there, but they did kind of allow their starters to get a break to see, okay, what do we have here? Do we see anyone else that we can add in there? So, of course, while the concern is that, I still think Patrick Mahomes and his ability to not only be a wise, smart quarterback, but he can maneuver opportunities to be able to get them in winning positions. He's done that all season long. So I think this is a good opportunity to see, all right, we might see more history by the Chiefs getting to that finish line yet again.
She is Tamar Scher. You can catch her on KMOV. She is a sports anchor and reporter there. Tamar, thanks for joining us today. And tell your mom Karen hi for me. She's the best, too.
I will. I'll tell her right now. Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. Love chatting with you always.
Awesome. Hope to talk to you soon. That's Tamar Scher. Be sure to follow her on Twitter. You can watch her on KMOV. He is Michael Kelly. I am Amy Mark Scores. Your texts continue to come in at 314-436-7900. Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores with you on a snowy Monday. We've got this from a 618. I grew up in Ottawa, Illinois in the 1950s. We had snow in the fall and it lasted until spring. All the neighbors played outside a lot. I made a snowman every year. Yes, every year. If we get an inch of wet snow here in Vandalia, Illinois, I can still make one even if it's tiny, like only 8 or 9 inches tall. It still counts. But
we still get snow every year, even though I can't remember a winter we haven't had snow of some type in St. Louis.
Maybe a little. Yeah, dusting. I do feel like there was more when I was younger.
Totally.
Here's a listener, a 314, said, listeners need to check out Michael on YouTube. Very good looking.
Who's saying this?
Hey, now.
My mom?
No,
hello, mom.
It's not your mom's number. I gave you a couple of the digits. You said that's not your mom. This was from a 314 when we were talking about KSDK, Michael. Mm-hmm. Leaving downtown, staying in the city of St. Louis. Important
yep,
to note.
Right.
I think they wanted to improve their parking situation. 314 says, nothing is going to get better until we have a city-county merger. Get rid of the waste and redundancy.
Well, wow. I'm glad to hear that's coming from the county, because I do ultimately think some reorganization of our governments is what's going to have to be done. Unfortunately, several efforts have been brought forward over the last several decades, and it's usually met with how we meet everything in St. Louis, a ball bat. Unfortunately, though, I think as the city, and it will eventually complete its failure, when we do wind up hitting bankrupts here, et cetera, we will have to find some way to have the state help us do it.
We also have a longtime listener calling in or texting in, 636. Hi, Amy, and you too, Michael.
Hey, now.
This is the first snowstorm since we sold our franchise, Pet Supplies Plus, in Baldwin, and retired. I realized last night I no longer have to clear our driveway early in the morning to get Gene to the store. Regardless, the animals in the store need to be fed and cages cleaned, regardless of whether customers show up or not. Now I can just listen to you and do Wordle.
How great is that?
Retirement,
don't
baby.
Don't tell us the word. I haven't done it yet today.
Are you a Wordle, a daily Wordle guy?
I'm not a daily Wordle guy, but I do get into it. And yesterday, I played it. And I'm trying to think what yesterday's word was. It was difficult. Cyber.
Cyber. Oh, that is a tough one.
Yeah.
I have a little complaint. I gave this complaint to Matt Pajeski. I subscribe to all the newspapers.
Sure.
Well, Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Atlantic, The National Review, The Dispatch.
My word.
The Economist.
You got quite a budget.
It's gone. It's all gone. I did the LA Times and the Boston Globe, and I had to dump those because I just couldn't read enough to make it worth it. I do like the LA Times and Boston Globe. However, even subscribing to the New York Times, if I clicked on a recipe, because I thought, it was for original like potato latkes.
Okay.
And it looked so good.
All right.
Golden and crispy. I'm like, I want this potato latke recipe. And it said, you have to subscribe to the cooking section for an additional $2.99. And then the crossword puzzle, guess what? You have to subscribe to the game section for like $5.99 a month.
Yes
way.
So are there people who can subscribe to the games at the New York Times,
yes,
but not the New York Times?
Yes.
It would seem to me that you would want to reward people like, hey, if you get a subscription, we're going to give you all this other stuff.
Not only that.
Should you want a piece off of us, we'll just...
For a year, I got the paper delivered every single day and the Wall Street Journal every single day. Paper, because I love the newspaper. I love to open it up and hear the crunch and get the ink-stained fingers.
Yeah.
But that'll cost you an arm and a leg.
Those are going away.
But I... Oh, don't say that.
Get used to reading your phone.
Ugh. He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. We want to hear from you. 314-436-7900 right here on KMOX.